right, let's talk about everything going on with Michael Wilbon, who's awesome every Wednesday at 5 o'clock, brought to you by Waddle's Guys.
That's right, HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place, HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day.
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
That's right. Michael joins us right now. I saw some great stuff by you on social media for Matthew's birthday, picking all the favorite players in NBA history. You've taught your son very, very well, Michael.
Well, you know, there's a lot of screaming when two guys are locked up together for like 16 days. There's a lot of screaming and hollering about all we do is scream and holler about sports. I think back to my father doing this with my brother and me, and now I'm doing it with Matthew, and it's my wife is ready to throw both of us out, but there's nowhere to throw us, and we're going to keep doing it. This is what we're going to do, and I'm hope there's some influence. I want him to think for himself and have his own favorites, but some things in history you don't get to ignore and eat meals in my house under my roof. You don't get to ignore them. Like this poll that was out there, the college basketball, who are the greatest college basketball players? We're going to have brackets. We have seeds. And we're going to have Zion beat Danny Manning, even though Zion didn't get to a Final Eight and Danny Manning led a team to a championship. I mean, people just want to, you know, there's no shame in the world, and people aren't even ashamed of what they don't know. They're not even ashamed that they don't know, so they don't shut up. This is what technology and social media has done. It is emboldened people to just be stupid out loud.
But
and
is
it's
it,
sad.
But Michael,
that
is
ain't
it
happening in my house?
Isn't this one of the small little blessings of currently that we can watch old sporting events? And I've heard a lot of 30-year-olds talk about how much more they appreciate watching that 96, 97, 98 championship
Good.
Bulls team because they were so young at the time, and now they're comparing the eras a little more because they're watching full-length Michael Jordan games from the 96 season.
Yeah. Yes, good, good. I mean, they shouldn't need that. I mean, they shouldn't have been able to go like 35 years of being stupid and being just ignorant. I mean, I don't want to let them off the hook that easy. And by the way, I'm not letting us, as the older generations, off the hook because we failed. I mean, I didn't need to watch full-length Jackie Robinson games at 35 to know who Jackie Robinson was and what he did and what he looked like and that he stole home a lot. And that he played a certain daring way on the base pass. And I didn't have to be 35 and 40 years old to know that. But, you know, yes, you know, you look for your silver lining, Sylvie, where you can find them. And that's, you know, that's one of them, I guess. I've been watching. But I get mad because sometimes they, you know, we're going to put on classic games. Classic games. Here's one from 2018. That qualifies as historic for dopes today.
So, Mike, who is the greatest college basketball player of all time? Is it Lual Cender?
Lual Cender. It's not even. There's not. I just did a social media post. It's probably not posted yet. But I just did this. It's Lual Cender. There's not a debate. It's not open to people's stupid hot takes. It's not open to their opinion. This guy went 88-2. And won three titles. So I got to call and jack up Stephen A. in a few minutes. I just saw him on SportsCenter talking about Chris Jackson. Stop. Lou Alcindor is the greatest college basketball player of all time.
Is Oscar Robertson in the team photo?
Yeah, he could be in the team photo. Did Oscar get them? He got them to the Final Four three times in a row, right?
I think he did. So.
I think Oscar got to the Final Four three times. I believe that. And so is Bill Russell, who won back-to-back. There's a lot of people in it. That Chris Jackson's not in it. He's not in the team photo.
How about Pistol Pete?
And Stephen A. is a historian on basketball. Maybe he was going – maybe they asked him about the, I don't know, since 1980 or something. But, you know, Leitner can be in the photo.
Yeah, that's
Grant Hill, Larry Johnson, and Stacey Augmon.
How about Pete Marinovich, Mike?
Who else?
Pete Marinovich.
Pete Maravich?
I'm Maravich.
Pete
I said Marinovich. That's because I'm young and I'm stupid.
Maravich, I got. I mean, so I know who said Maravich to me recently? Somebody was talking about Maravich. Maybe. I mean, Maravich averaged 44 a game.
Right.
I mean,
he was at LSU, right? Wasn't he at LSU?
He was at LSU. He played for his father. He played for Press Maravich. But I don't know. You got to have one. If you win, Bill Walton's in the team photo. Speaking of anybody on UCLA was in the team photo because they won every year. And they won, you know, I mean, you know, they won at a time, obviously, where the basketball world wasn't as deep and as inclusive. But Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lew Alcindor, is the greatest college basketball player of all time. And people, you know, I hear people say, well, you know, basketball, you know, wasn't as good, you know, it wasn't as good 25 years ago as it is now. Then I'm saying, okay, if it wasn't, then how are you going to try to include Shaq, who was playing 25 years ago in college basketball and didn't win, didn't get his team to the Final Four, and Shaq became great. If you want to argue Shaq on your in your top 10 or top 5 all time, that's fine, but not in college. But people are just not, you know, we have more access to more information than ever, and people are lazier than ever about finding it.
I've got Evan Eschmeyer on my list because he played 11 years in college.
My man, Evan Eschmeyer. Sylvie, you and I may be the only ones with Evan on our list, but I was trying to think if there's somebody recently. You know what? Was anybody on both those Villanova teams recently? I'm not talking about you. By the way, you want to put Patrick Ewing three times in the Final Four?
Yeah.
Akeem Olajuwon three times in the Final Four. Ralph Sampson, two-time player of the year, a three-time player of the year. You want to put those guys? And they got multiple times besides their names and their credentials. You know, Elvin Hayes. But you can't, you know, nobody who did something once. And I say that kind of eliminates Larry Bird. But Larry Bird had such a great season, and Magic Johnson had two of them, that those guys, you know, are probably in the team picture. So was Michael. But not some. And by the way, what's my man on Boston, the point guard who just came from Charlotte? On UConn.
Walker. Isn't it?
Yes.
Kemba Walker.
Kemba. Walker.
Kemba's a guy, modern guy. You know, I mean, Napier won two times at UConn, I think. So there are people who belong on the list who didn't play 100 years ago. But we're not. If your list doesn't have Kareem on it, I'm not talking to you.
All right, so where are you today? You've always said since the beginning of all this, Michael, that you talk to so many of your friends who are doctors and who are in the know. And in like 1 minute, we get optimistic because we talk to a couple guests who get us a little more who have optimism about when games can return and when we can get close to some normalcy. Others tell us, well, you know, and like we just had Jeff Passan on, who is telling us he doesn't know if they could even have a college fall season, because what are you going to do on campus with all the people? Where are you today on your optimism level, and when can we get back to some of the sports?
I don't know. I'm down. I'm probably down. If I was a 5.5 last week, I'm a 3.5 today. I mean, on a 10 scale. I mean, it just, some of these things don't add up. Some of the optimism doesn't add up in the face of what we're seeing. And you know, I talked, so obviously the lead story today for a lot of us is the NFL and the optimism that Pash spoke with. And I get it. I mean, I'm hopeful and optimistic. Yes, we need to remain hopeful and optimistic while entertaining, you know, a strong dose every day of reality. And I was listening to Myron Roll, and I don't know if that's a name that resonates with you guys. Myron Roll played
brain surgeon, right?
Yeah, yes, neurosurgeon, yes, at Mass General. And Myron played in the NFL for 3 years after his career at Florida State as a football player. And he was asked about this on SportsCenter, and I have gotten to know Myron Roll as a young man on the way up, going right through Rhodes Scholar and medical school and being a neurosurgeon. I was listening to Myron Roll today when it was put to him, you know, Pash's statement about the NFL and the hope that the NFL season would begin on time and go as scheduled. And he just said, it's ambitious. This is a guy who played in the NFL.
Yeah.
Ambitious, he called it. Now, I want to be with Pash, and I want to be with people who are optimistic about getting sports back. But who am I going to take my cue from? Am I going to take it from a sports administrator, executive, or am I going to take it from somebody who's on the front lines of fighting the coronavirus every day at Mass General? At essentially, you know, an extended ground zero.
But with that said, Mike, do you think that the NFL, because I don't, I'll say that, I don't think the NFL at this point has done anything wrong with regard to suggesting that we're going to maintain our schedule. If we have to adjust it, we will. But as of right now, we plan on, like, for me, I got no problem with that. And I know there's some people, I got some, you know, there's people out there that I love and I follow. And I know Shefty's really upset with the NFL with how they've done things. And I think I'm on the other side of that conversation. As long as the NFL is not putting people in harm's way, the fact that they are going about doing their business, I personally don't look at that as being callous. And
I'm with you on that, Tommy. I don't look at it as the NFL having done anything wrong.
Right.
But I do think there needs to be an expression of caution in everything we do right now. Caution, not panic.
Right.
I don't think the NFL has no reason with a season that begins in 6 months to declare the season over or threatened. No. But you have to say Pat did this. We don't know.
And in fact, their actions, Mike, have been universally appreciated. I think they've shut all of the facilities down. There's going to be no off-season OTAs. I mean, I think their actions speak louder.
Some people are upset at the draft. I'm not upset at that and holding the draft.
Me neither.
That's a TV show, and it wasn't even put before major cities until recently. That's something that's happened 3 minutes ago. Once again, people are too dumb about history to realize that there was no stage and no commissioner welcoming and shaking hands with people who were drafted 25 years ago, maybe 25. ESPN created this. Good.
Yep.
But if you can't have it, you can still have the draft. The draft was going on in the 60s.
I agree.
Yeah, maybe the family would know when the common draft started. But I'm with you on this, Tommy. I'm not holding the NFL's feet to the fire for doing something wrong. I think their actions on their daily course of operation have been right in step with what the medical and science communities have been suggesting. I will say that you guys were the first suggestion to me last week when we talked about, you know, the season being college and pro seasons being threatened. I mean, that notion, I that seems, you know, far afield then, and it doesn't now. I mean, I don't think you have to declare anything.
Well, and Mike, you know? I'm not suggesting that the NFL won't eventually step in their own, you know,
right. No,
excrement
you,
because
you,
they've
no
done it in the
to
past.
Do it today.
Correct.
Yeah, there's going to be, Tommy, I think we're in lockstep on this, and but I, you know, when I heard Myron Rolls say that today, it gave me pause.
Yeah.
You know? And this notion that I people are going to play, they're going to move on, and this sport is going to have this, and they're going to shut up and sit down, and they're going to wait to see what happens in the world. I refuse, and this is easy for me out here in Arizona to say this, sitting out here in Arizona by my pool, yes, in the sunshine right now, 80 degrees and sunny. It's easy for me to say that being, you know, I don't know how far New York City is from Scottsdale, 2,400 miles. It's easy for me to sit here and say this so far from ground zero of where the virus is just wreaking havoc in this country, not to mention more miles from Italy and other places that are struggling. So I don't want to get cavalier about this, but when I don't watch often. I don't spend all my day watching CNN or anything. I just don't. I watch it in the morning. I watch it at night. I read the New York Times. And that's kind of, you know, I turn it off. I go, that's it. I'm going back to reruns of Will and Grace. I'm not doing this all day. I don't want to be depressed all day.
Right.
But when I do, and I see what's going on in the world, and the number of deaths per day that are projected to increase per day, then I'm not optimistic about sports coming back, you know, these timelines. Yeah, so they're going to put this out there in May. No, they're not. They're not putting Jack out there in May. Not in terms of big national leagues of things. I just, that is not happening. We're already in May, we're already in April 1st. You'd have to have people on fields of, at least on diamonds and fields and courts, practicing and getting in shape in 2 weeks. That's not happening. People got to pay attention, and they're not.
Yeah. All right. More with Michael coming up. We are getting something in May, and it's going to be glorious. And Michael knows a lot about the project, The Last Dance. We'll talk about that coming up next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Our conversation with Michael Wilbon continues. And ESPN came in as a hero, moving up The Last Dance that was scheduled for June. April 19th is when it will debut. 2 hours every Sunday. Episode 1 and 2 will be played on April 19th, and then they'll continue each and every week. Michael, you've talked a lot about this on and off the air with us, about some of the stories that you've heard. For those who think that it's going to be just repeat of stuff that they know, tell them what they're going to get.
They're going to get new stuff. I mean, I know a whole lot more than anybody listening. Sam Smith listening, or people like that, Casey Johnson. I know a lot more than everybody listening, except a couple of people. And I know there's stuff I don't know. I know there's new stuff. There's new stuff. There's stuff that I know that I commented on, whether it appears or not. I don't know, because I don't know what is edited in and out. Editors have an incredible job. But this is stuff that's coming from Michael. And, you know, a lot of it, I think, is just brand new. A lot of it's new to some people, not new to those of us who are around every day. I know a lot of it will be new to the listeners, because a lot of stuff we knew off the record. We knew our background. We couldn't talk about it publicly. I know there's stories I know off the record that Michael apparently will put on the record. I know there were stories I commented on where I looked at the director who was in my home with a setup taping me, and I said, that's always been off the record as far as I know. And then it basically, you know, there were some off the record stories that are, you know, off the record. I mean, this is something that people are reporting on things on every day, whether you're in politics or sports or business or medicine and science, whatever. You have off the record stories that you are not going to talk about, and they go to the grave often. And sometimes people want to put those things on the record. There are times there were off the record stories that were kind of interesting, real fascinating at times. And I know I have gone to people in my life that I covered in whatever industry, more often in basketball than not, whether it was Michael or Kobe or Pat Riley. And I said, I know you told me this 4 years ago in confidence. Can I use this? And often they said yes. And I used it. But there's far more things that never got out there. And I don't mean anything about me. I wasn't around anybody in these groups every day. I was around sometime.
Mike,
the stories are unbelievable. Some of the stories, I can't wait to hear the stuff I know I don't know.
Mike, who initially owned all of this footage, and why has it taken till 2020 for it all to come out?
I have no idea.
Like, did Michael have a production company that owned the rights to all of this?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because I would
Michael
think all of this
intellectual property, he owns that.
But all of
he owns the vault of stories inside of him. But the footage, like somebody, as you're hinting at, I mean, Tommy, somebody owned this footage and it's been around for 20 years.
Yeah, and I'm curious as to why, and I'm more than thankful, especially for the timing of it.
Yeah.
But like I said to Sylvie, you guys covered that. I was just a spectator from a distance. I can't wait to go back down memory lane for even the things that everybody knows, much less the things that people don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, some of it is just fun to see again, like these games that Sylvie mentioned in a previous segment, and I'm watching them too. I'm watching them. I got a text from a dear friend the other day who was at all these games and said, and her text read something like, I know everything that happened in these games and I'm still getting upset at the missed calls. And that's, you know, that speaks to this, like we're going to revel in the things that we haven't really reveled in 22, plus years. And by the way, it may be the last dance, but we're going to, I mean, the entire career of Michael Jordan is going to be examined in a way, in a depth that it has not been examined in this way before. I mean, maybe it has been in books, but in terms of the way that it is going to be consumed now, no, it hasn't. And then there's the new stuff. And yeah, the combination of that ought to be riveting. Who was I talking to? I was talking to somebody yesterday who was excited about young ball players in the league now, guys who are 19 to 30 years old. They weren't even born. Some of them. They weren't even born. Zion Williamson was not born when Michael played the last dance season. So you're going to have all these kids who think they know. And if they watch, and I think because of a lack of choices and things to be engaged by, they're going to watch, even though they don't give a damn about history. And I'm not talking about Zion now. I'm talking about two whole generations of people. They don't give a damn about history. They're much more likely to peek in and get caught, get hung up, get caught up in it. And I think that's a good thing.
We were debating this, and we don't know much about the television ratings game, but because there's no live sports, because people love this topic, because it is exclusive stuff, for all those reasons, do you believe that some of the ratings for these shows will be on par with NBA Finals games?
No. Oh, on par with NBA Finals games. I was thinking about Michael's NBA Finals games.
Yeah, like an NBA.
Maybe
a Monday Night Football game.
Yeah, current games over the last 15 years. Yeah, I think they. And look, I don't want to overestimate the last two generations, their ability to not give a damn. I don't want to underestimate their ability to say, I'd rather watch YouTube or look at my phone. I'm sorry if I sound like I'm expressing too much disgust, but
you're really taking it out on them hard today. I mean,
yeah, for you. Yeah, I am. Probably since I saw some of that video of the pub crawl in Chicago for what was St. Paddy's Day that wasn't. Probably since then, the last 2 weeks more intensely than usual. But I don't want to underestimate their ability to not care about anything. And so maybe they won't. And maybe the ratings can be high just for people over 45. I don't know. But I would think the ratings would be high for this, because I think even they, Jordan, if anybody can pull, even them. There have only been like two athletes in my lifetime, maybe three. Two mainstream who could pull no matter what the condition or circumstance was, and that's Muhammad Ali and Michael Jordan. Is it going to pull in Michael Jordan finals ratings? I don't see that. I hope it does. I mean, I'm rooting for my network, rooting for my employer. I hope it does. I hope it pulls a 20 or plus, more than that. But I don't know. I don't know what are people consuming. And people, you know, in 1997, there was no Netflix, or if there was, it was fledgling. People couldn't go to all these other things that they can go to now, but I know what I'm watching, and with all the choices in the world, I might watch the Jordan doc over actual playoff games, depending who was in those playoff games. I probably would choose to watch that over certain playoff games.
Mike, are you surprised in any way, shape, or form at the number of people that were willing to contribute to this? Or was this considered like a badge of honor, this was their pleasure. This was something that they were more than willing to do, whether it was Pat Riley or other huge names in the business.
Word of mouth, Tommy. Word of mouth was out there about who was participating. And once you hear those names, those iconic names, like if you know Pat Riley participated, who was anybody else to say, I won't do this?
Right.
I don't like I have that. I do know the people who have been producing and directing and all that. I kind of want to just ask them on the QT, who told you no?
Right.
Like who said no? Like after you know, sometimes I got to see footage. Again, I was hesitant on a couple of stories just because the stories have been told to me in confidence. And then they can show you footage of like Michael talking about that story.
And you're going to be pissed at anyone when this is out there, Mike?
Sure.
Is he going to be pissed at anyone?
Say it again.
Is Michael going to be pissed at anyone based on what, or does he know exactly what everyone has said at this point?
I don't, he could know. He could know. He's had access to it. from my brief conversations with him about it, I don't know that he, I don't know that he's like asked. I know that he knows certain stories. He you know, that's a great question. Like, who will he be upset with? Who's he going to be upset with that he isn't already upset with? Like, is he going to like the Bad Boy Pistons? Is he going to feel any differently about them if they participate? Like, if they interviewed Bill Laimbeer, and I don't know that they did or didn't, or what he said. But, like, is Jordan's relationship with Laimbeer going to change after all this time? No. I mean, you know, I trust and hope he'll still hate Laimbeer.
Does he hate him? Does he hate Bill Laimbeer?
Hate's
a strong word. Hate's a strong word. How about this?
But I thought that was legit. I thought, okay, look, I've covered sports for 40 years. I thought the Pistons, Bulls hated each other. Like, I didn't think the Bulls and Knicks did. I think the Bulls, and even the Bulls and Pistons had some exceptions. Michael didn't hate Joe Dumars, and Joe Dumars didn't hate Michael. It just didn't happen. And by the way, neither did Chuck Daly. So even as I say this, I'm drawing exceptions. But overall, those three series in a row.
Right.
Right? So those series were 88, 89, and 90. Were there four in a row?
Four, because, yes.
There were four. The Bulls lost three of them.
Right.
So four series in a row. There was legit hatred. There was legitimate hatred. And I guess some of that will be talked about.
Then they walked off the court. They walked off the court.
They walked off the court. That tells you all the hatred you need to know about. So, and I know about that. I don't think that existed as much. I mean, okay, Starks and Jordan went at it. Look, in the Pacers. I mean, Michael and Reggie went at it. But there was nothing approaching hatred. As a matter of fact, those guys, I think, you know, by the next week, there was great respect and then admiration later when they sort of retired. But the Pistons, I don't know. I'm interested to know. But, like, who's going to say something? Who could say something about Michael? Like, I don't know. You know, there's some areas I don't know that they're going to get into and how deeply. And maybe he will. But in those cases, I got to think he's not going to – like, there was going to be a premiere. There was going to be a big premiere in New York. And obviously that won't happen. But I would have loved to have seen his reaction. You know, that night, and we're not going to be deprived of that now.
It's going to be great, Michael, and this is like a history lesson with Michael Wilbon, and we're all better for it. We'll talk next week. Stay healthy and stay safe, okay?
Thanks, Mike.
All right, you guys do the same. Stay, be well and stay safe. And I sort of kind of apologize if I offended any millennials, but not really.
Yeah, no. That was insincere.
I think it's therapy for you. Yeah. So, see you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, you guys.
It's like he just lays on the couch and he goes after people. Mark Jean Greco is here. He's spraying down everything. He'll join us in a couple of minutes.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Hank Azaria is on the line and joins Waddle and Sylvie. Hi, Hank.
How's it going?
How are you?
This is Jim Brockman. I got a show on IFC that maybe seven people watch. And he's a sportscaster. And even though not many people watch the show, it is a tremendously awesome show. It's very highly rated on Rotten Tomatoes. And I thought I'd give you some sports takes, if you like, as Jim Brockmeyer.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, are you a Mitch Trubisky fan? I mean, we're big Bears guys, and we're worried about our quarterback, Mr. Brockmeyer. So what do you think about Trubisky?
I am not a Trubisky guy. Nobody outside. I got news for you guys. Nobody outside of Chicago is a Trubisky guy.
Nobody in Chicago is a Trubisky guy these days.
Either. No, I think only your general manager is a Trubisky guy.
So good yesterday with the biggest name drop. Hank Azaria called.
Just on that theory or on that topic. Have you seen the meme that's recently going around with? With Roger Goodell announcing with the second pick of the draft, the Chicago Bears select Patrick Mahomes. It's an April Fool's joke.
Oh, really? Don't do that.
As we tweet it. It's crazy.
Get over it, Sylvie. Get over it, Waddle.
Get over it. Yeah.
On the mock drafts, Ed Mitch is the highest rated guy.
Then
no one knew.
Trade for him. You can have him.
Just get over it. Marky is in studio. I was telling Mark during the break, Waddle, that we had Jim Palmer on, because that's right up Mark's alley.
I could see Mark advertising for briefs.
Yeah, it's very timely, too, Tommy. He's probably back in his underwear right now, just sitting home, you know?
Could be.
Those were those groundbreaking ads. You know, Joe Namath in pantyhose, Burt Reynolds naked, Jim Palmer doing underwear. Yeah, those were the days.
He did that for years, didn't
he?
Like
he
television
sure did.
Commercials?
Mm-hmm.
But he was good. He was very good about baseball, and it's been good so far. We've had about five or six people call our show. I don't think Carmen Yurko's had anybody call in their show.
But didn't
yet.
They have Abraham Lincoln and Crosstalk?
That was funny. That was funny. Did you hear that, Waddle? The guy who said he was Honest Abe?
No.
He was pretty good. They're asking about John Wilkes Booth. He goes, "Well, he didn't make it up here in heaven. You know, he's down in the basement." He had a lot of good stuff. The guy was great.
So, Marky is brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse at LaSalle and the River, and they will reopen when all Chicagoans are safe. I was talking to David about the restaurant yesterday, just catching up with the family too, and about some of the they're doing some renovations and mm-hmm. they're checking out new stuff in the kitchen. And look, if you've got this time, they're going to utilize it. And Chicago Cut will always be there once it's reopened.
And we're going to have a great ESPN celebration once it's reopened. All the boys, we're going to go back. We'll get the big table in the big room, and we'll just enjoy being free once again.
Yes. Yeah. So did you get to do sports today?
Yes, we did. We had a great piece from Dion Miller about Angela Duklich. I gotta have to look at it. Anyway,
that was the most unmarked Jean Greco moment ever.
I'm just trying to. I really apologize.
Wait, who is she?
Dugalich. She is a Maine West basketball player.
Okay,
who is the only female Chicago representative in what was supposed to have been the McDonald's All American game tonight in Houston, and you know that was her dream to be in that game. Canceled, but we Skyped her and she was so terrific. She was great. She's going to Oregon. So
oh, wow.
She's looking forward to her college career. And then we did another Make Mark Do Your Job where I was in Paris, France with the Bulls. Now we're talking about The Last Dance, 1998.
Remember those days, Mark, when they would actually send you to a location, not to mention overseas in Paris?
So they're in this McDonald's tournament over there where they're, you know, just like the Dream Team. They're beating teams over there by 60, and then all the opposing players are asking for autographs. So we're in Paris, and my news director said, well, while you're there, why don't you, you know, do a few Make Mark Do Your Job. So I was in a winery stomping grapes. I was a street mime. I was an interpreter at Michael Jordan's news conferences, a bunch of other stuff over there. So that was really fun. So it was kind of a virtual travel log, you know, and since I couldn't speak French, the mime one really worked out, you know.
You sound a little tired.
You know what? I am tired, man.
You don't look tired. You actually don't look tired. The only thing that is odd is Jean Greco's got a big wide, area of no shirt in between buttons, and
the way
he is sitting, his belly button is just
staring right at me, popped out.
I am talking to his belly button.
You know, is there a reason, Mark? That one of your
you
buttons
know what?
Isn't
my
button?
Gut just busted through this shirt.
Can I take a picture,
Sylvia? I'm so sorry. You know what this reminds me of? You know when you paint the face on your stomach, and the belly button's the mouth.
It's the Seinfeld episode. Hello, la la la.
Are you not eating correctly and getting a workout?
Just eating garbage, not working out, and I'm having these anxiety dreams.
I was just going to say, how are you doing? Like yesterday, we tried to have a little mental health pick me up.
Have you heard about this?
No,
Bob Tewksbury. It went south quick. But are you okay? I mean, are you feeling all right?
You know, physically, I'm run down. Everything's fine. I'm just so tired because I can't sleep, and I got to take my own advice. And not have these anxiety dreams because it's the same dream every night. I'm trapped in a college dorm with somebody else quarantined, okay? And it's somebody different every night. And it's usually the last person I see on television. So guess who I was quarantined with last night? Chris Cuomo, CNN. He's in his basement announcing that, you know, he got the virus. And I'm just like, oh, my God. I'm trapped in a dorm with this guy. And he never shuts up.
Well, why do you think it's a dorm? What's the significance of that?
Is that cinder block walls, metal bunk beds.
Is this because you're yearning for your younger years of when you were in college and you wish you could go back to?
I think it's prison related.
Well, doctor, you may be right. You know, let me lay down here on the couch.
I'm a big dream guy too. Like yeah,
I have the craziest, weirdest dreams. I'm telling you.
The plan was this. There's this guy who, first of all, there's a guy named Brian Kane that Zetterman has had on his podcast before, who's a well-known guy who consults with athletes and gets them in better mind.
Mental health coach.
Yeah, maybe even higher than that. And like a guy that we thought motivational, mental health skills, all this. He can't do it till next week. And I said to Abdallah, I go, you know what? I hear the Cubs have a new mental health coach. It's Bob Tewksbury, the former pitcher. But see if he'd be open to doing it. He said yes. The parameters were we couldn't ask specifics about the Cubs. Specifics. Mm-hmm. So I opened generally about, hey, are you staying in touch with players? And he said, I was told we weren't talking baseball.
Wow.
And then when I asked, every time we asked him a question on like...
No sale.
How, and like I was admitting, like, I had a tough weekend. And like, are there things that we can do to get our swerve back, our confidence back? Well, I'm not a psychologist.
Oh, wow.
Mark, Sylvie laid down on his couch and got kneed in the nuggets.
Wow, that's a bad book right yeah, there. I mean,
Meller's got Meller. Don't you have?
I'm not blaming it on you, Jeffy.
Do you want to play it?
Do you want to play it now, or do you want to do it on the other side of the break?
Misrepresented himself.
We could play that coming up next. Yeah. So, if you want to talk to Marky, 312-332-3776. I'll tweet out the picture of the belly button as well that was just staring at me.
I can't wait.
15, is there any lint in there?
15. I didn't get that close.
Man, I could knit a sweater with that.
15 more minutes to have a celebrity call in, 312-332-3776, and then we've got all day Thursday and all day Friday. All right, the little highlight package of talking to Bob Tewksbury up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Mental health is as real as physical health, and Bob Tewksbury I thought would be an interesting guest. How often are you in contact, especially during these unprecedented times, with players on the Cubs to sort of help them through this?
Yeah, that's not something I'm here to discuss. If you'd like to discuss something other than that, I'd be happy to do that.
Strike one!
Okay, just in general terms?
No, I prefer not to talk about anything about the Cubs or baseball. That's not something I really want to talk about on the air.
Strike two!
What would you tell people because of these times who are either out of work, who are furloughed, and it's not their doing? And normally they're very confident, but just like a player going into a slump. So how do they keep their confidence? What are some of the exercises they could go through?
Well, again, I'm not a psychologist.
Strike three, you're out.
Hey, we got Tewksbury. It gets better every time, doesn't it, Waddle?
Now we know why. Who was the pitcher, the right-handed pitcher that the Cubs ultimately, he couldn't find the plate and they actually had to trade him? Was there any chance that Bob Tewksbury worked with him?
Who?
Thin, really thin, skinny guy.
Oh, are you talking about Edwards? Carl Edwards going through a slump would go, hey, Bob, I got nothing. I've lost my confidence. You know what? I'm not here to talk baseball.
Carl, I'm not here to tell you how to throw your curveball over the plate.
And I'm not a psychologist. You know, that was just a bad hire by the Cubs.
I mean, geez.
He's totally misrepresented. We got to look at his resume.
Mark, Sylvie needed a hug. Like, and he admitted it on the air. He's like, listen, I had a rough weekend. I wasn't feeling great about everything. So I thought this was a good opportunity for everyone, including myself.
Like, I opened up a little bit. I'm like, look, I was bummed out this weekend. There's the physical health and there's the mental health. They're both real. I need some help. Bob, can you help? Nope.
Yeah, and then you're all red and sweaty and shaking.
Barking up the wrong tree Mr. Silverman.
Hey, by the way, you know, I was Cloroxing here when I came in. Monday, I have to admit, I grabbed a pair of your protective gloves out of the sterilized packet there.
Right.
At least I think they were yours because they were way too small. They didn't fit at all.
Well, these are small.
You know,
right.
I was trying to get them out. I felt like OJ in court, you know, except those really weren't the right gloves. Jeez.
We do have gloves in the studio. No one's really worn them, though.
Yeah, I got another pair. I mean, I got the XLs from the
because they're children's size. That's why.
Really? Easy. You guys easy over there.
I put a pair on and they broke.
Mark DiCarlo's on the line.
Marky!
Longtime television guy, actor, and someone had him call in for the biggest name drop. That's awesome. Mark.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. We miss you on Windy City Live, and I love your game show stuff and all the other comedic pieces of gold you've done over the years, including that game show commercial. I can't even, you know, remember the product. Was it Geico?
Yeah, that was
Progressive
a nice
Insurance.
One.
That was a great
was
one.
A nice one.
Yeah,
really,
that was
thanks.
Excellent.
Thanks. I'm just curious if I qualify as famous enough for this game.
Yeah, for this show,
really
yeah.
Why,
yeah, for this show, of course.
Of course, yeah. Of course you do.
Who has?
I think I told you this story before a month, but I haven't shared it with Chicago. I have a famous Mark Giangreco story.
Oh, yes. I want to hear it now.
It was the last day of the L.A. Sports Arena being open. Springsteen was playing. So this is in L.A., and I'm probably wearing, you know, a Chicago shirt of some fashion or something. I'm standing at the urinal with about 50 guys. Some drunk guy walks into the bathroom, and from 20 feet away, he goes, "Hey, Mark, how's it going?" can't really discuss. I'm like, "Hey, how are you?" And he goes, then he turns and goes, "Hey, guys, that's Mark Giangreco."
We do look alike, man. We could be brothers. You're like the Cuomos.
Right. Right, especially, you know, if our backs are to the room and, you know.
Our hairy backs are to the room, yeah.
Right, exactly.
So what are you doing out there?
I'm doing a new cartoon show. It's a stream show right now on Facebook every day at 6 called The Boffo the Bear Show.
Hey, cool.
So it's 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock in Chicago. And
hey, Boffo the Bear, is that about Ryan Pace?
Oh,
wow.
Hey.
Hey, now.
That's
hey.
Busto the Bear.
Weasel the
Busto.
Joke.
Good one, Silk.
He's the cartoon bear that interviews real people on TV and on the web. It's a new thing. We just started it last week, trying to get everybody through the quarantine with a little humor and
Great. That's great. You know, yeah. That's kind of like the Space Ghost cartoon. Did you see that where he's got a game show?
Yes.
Yeah, that's really kind of freaky.
You should see it. It's very freaky. It's every day. It would be 8 o'clock Chicago time on Boffo the Bear on Facebook. But you got to see it. Or you go to the YouTube. Go to the YouTube and you can see the clips. The kids are loving them on the YouTube.
Mark, in all seriousness, how is this pandemic affecting the overall world of entertainment?
It's completely and utterly shut down. I know people. My friend Kate Flannery was on tour with Dancing with the Stars. That ended. I know several of my Second City friends, they're doing HBO shows. Those are not ended, but they're stopped. Man. People came back from overseas, and literally everyone, we're all just like sitting in our houses. We're doing, you know, group Zooms every night and trying to, you know, keep it together like everybody else. But it's just so weird. Just you look around, you know, everyone is just sitting in their house, like waiting for a storm that you can't even see to pass.
Yeah.
It's freaky.
Who had you call?
Joe Aiello.
Very cool.
Oh, nice.
Very good. Mark, great to hear from you. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. Stay strong, Chicago. Stay healthy, everybody.
Be there good, go. Marky.
Hey, Mark.
Mark DiCarlo. He grew up here, too, didn't he?
Yeah.
I
he went to
so.
Bennett Academy.
Yeah,
think,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Let's go to Dave in Oak Lawn. Dave, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, you guys. Thanks for helping me get through this.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Mark, can you do me a solid? Can you call Kaplan's show tomorrow as my celebrity?
You know what? Kap will hang up on me. Zetterman won't even let me get through. But I'll give it a shot.
You look like the lead singer from Ides of March, Marky.
He'd be smoking hot 9 to noon.
Dave,
I heard that from somebody I trust in the business.
Well, so. Thanks, man. That's awesome.
Dave, thanks. Good call. Rich in Southern California. Hey, Rich.
Yeah, I was. Hello, guys. Hi, Mark. Listen to you guys every day. I love the show. I was calling about the earlier conversation you're having about sporting events. If you're still willing to go, please allow me to set this up really quick. I'm a huge Cub fan, a baseball fan. I wanted to attend every stadium in the country. Finally made it last year when I made Citi Field, watched the Cubs and Mets last year. Now, this year, the Rangers are opening Globe Life Park, and I've got a bunch of us from, we all grew up in the Rockford area. And I got 19 tickets for the White Sox and Rangers on July 4th. And if that game's being held, I'm going.
Good for you. Yeah, don't cancel all your plans just yet. I mean, we really took a hit today with the Cubs and Cardinals series being postponed and canceled, actually, in London. And Wimbledon is huge. to cancel Wimbledon been, over yeah, there
since,
is gigantic.
World War II, right?
Yes, absolutely. So Tommy, by the way, Jim Peterik would be your lead singer from the Ides of March.
That's what I was saying.
Our
I
good
think
buddy.
You know, yeah. you guys look like you were brothers.
Us? Me?
Minus the purple hair.
What? He's like 100 pounds, soaking wet.
Well, you're in good shape too, Mark.
I'm a rock'em sock'em 215.
160?
Oh,
Let's get our buddy Peter.
I'm a fire hydrant now.
In Miami. Hey, Peter, say hi to Marky.
Hey, guys. Hi, Marky. How are you?
Peter, what's up?
Good, man. I hope everyone's staying safe. I just want to call because the memory you just, memory lane you took me down in 1997 in that tournament in Paris.
Yes, I mean that was spectacular to cover. It was really fun.
I was there because at the time I was living in Greece, and me and my dad, we were huge Olympiacos fans, but the Bulls played.
Really?
Obviously, we're Bulls fans. Yes.
Wow.
We traveled to Paris to see that game.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic! What a trip. See, back then it was like, "Hey, Dad, let's go to Paris." All right, let's go.
No, it wasn't. Hey, Dad,
get in the station wagon and drive.
Hey, get ready. We're flying to Paris. It was my dad's idea.
Oh, fantastic. That's awesome. Yeah, everything good in Miami?
You know, like everywhere else, today they shut down the whole state. It's kind of late to the party to that, to be honest with you, yeah, the way people are going to the beach.
Yeah,
how
your
stupid
mayor,
people are, but.
Yeah, your mayor and your governor are under a lot of pressure from businesses to keep things open, but you got to shut it down now.
Of course. So then every idiot was going to the beach for the past 3 weeks.
Yeah,
you're afraid to go to the supermarket.
Peter, all the best, man. Stay safe, okay?
You too, guys.
There you go. There's our buddy Peter in Miami.
That's
you know what I'm going to do, guys, as soon as this is done?
You're going to have a beverage, aren't you?
I already had one at 5:30. I'm going in the garage to turn my car, the ignition of my car.
Yeah, drive it around the circle. Just drive around the driveway.
I'm not starting my car in 10 days.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, speaking of Peter, my brother Pete is making meatballs on Facebook, okay? He's got a great video of how to make meatballs, and there's a big controversy. There are two camps. One where you brown the meatballs and then put them in the sauce, or the ones where you roll them raw and drop them in the sauce and cook them.
No, you cannot put them in the sauce raw.
He's a raw ball guy.
Oh, so, wow. That explains a lot.
But his meatballs are tremendous. I always tell him, don't think meat, you only hurt the meatballs. But these are really good. And so tune in, Peter Giangreco.
Okay, on Facebook.
Giant meatballs or just normal size?
Normal size. Okay. He's got normal to small size.
Between
balls.
His brother's meatballs and Marky's belly button, this has been a fun half hour.
I think it could fit a meatball in this belly button right now.
That's a great Twitter handle, Mr. Raw Balls.
thank you to our guests today. We had Jim Palmer call in. We just had Mark DiCarlo call in our contest.
Oh, God. I just saw the picture you sent me. That's horrible.
Terrible.
Please
it
don't
was
post.
Going on for about 8 minutes too, where I just every time I would turn, I'm like, Waddle, say something, so I don't have to keep looking.
Well,
at
listen, it's another first world problem. I can't get my shirts till Friday, so I'm wearing an old one. Pop the button.
Kept talking to me. And then Jeff Passan and Michael Wilbon. Thanks to Tyler and Jeff Meller. Jim Palmer will lead off the post game show in 2 minutes. For Marky and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000.